welcome to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Chet.
This is the show where we drop nerd knowledge on you every Wednesday night from 9 to 10 p.m. You're here. We're here. Red Bear is not here. That's why, Chet, thank you so much for being here to kind of like stand in for Red Bear. Red Bear had some super secret stuff to do.
He was in a cave.
Are you prepared?
Yeah.
Are you prepared to drop the knowledge?
Yes.
Let's do it.
I have all the knowledge.
Let's start with this bit. We open the entire show up with Reading Rainbow by the Human Tim. That's the first bit of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
The gauntlet is dropped.
Yes.
I should drop the gauntlet. The second bit of knowledge is where we have all of our audio, all of our news reviews, all of our opinions have been uploaded online in the digital cloud space. It is at exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap that P.
P.
You could, yeah, that's the P.
We double tapped it
every time. We also have social media at exppoints.com/social. You can look at Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Steam, YouTube. There's tons of stuff. You can just check them all out. We're expanding the platform all the time, putting new content up there. Speaking of new stuff, this isn't a new song, but I really like it. It's First Crush by Saver Pulse and Knife City. We're going to cut to that song, come back and talk about what we did last week. You've been listening to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. This is still Experience Points. I'm still MG.
And I'm still Chet.
And that was First Crush by Saver Pulse and Knife City. Chet, what did you do? This is typically the point of the show, because I know you don't listen to every show. This is the part of the show where we typically talk about what we did the previous week. Tech-wise, geek-wise, anything we really did that we could talk about on the show. And Bear usually leads it off. And since you are here standing in, you are a metaphorical bear right now. You are a replacement bear. Because you have a beard. You have a beard. It's red. You know, only your beard's red, really.
I'm not full bear, though. You're
red-skinned a little bit.
I'm not fully bear.
You're flush. So I'm going to superimpose you in now for bear. What did you do last week that was like techie or geeky or whatever? What'd you do?
I geeked out on some history.
You're a history geek. Very cool. Where'd you go? What'd you do?
The D-Day Museum in New Orleans.
Ah, the World War II Museum in New Orleans. Yeah, I've been there once, way back in the day, like when it first got built. But it's like way bigger now.
It's a lot bigger now. It's like four times bigger now.
So what do you, did you walk through all of it? Did you get your steps in?
No, I didn't have time to go to all of it because we got there late.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was that rainstorm day too, wasn't it?
And I was soaking wet.
Yeah.
And it flooded.
But just like all of our troops were in in Normandy.
It was the full experience.
This
only
is conveniently
not, really.
Not intended to be like a post-memorial show, Memorial Day show.
Yeah,
it is sort of there. So, you know, hearts go out to anybody that's lost a loved one in the military and everything. So what type of technology, because there's a lot of technology in war. I don't think people realize how much technology, maybe now, whenever we see like drones and aircraft and like supersonic jets and bombs that explode from like remote control or whatever. But in World War II, like things were a little simpler.
Yeah.
Technology-wise. There were still planes, I guess.
Yeah, there's like a whole building that's just got
like
aviation. Yeah, it's got like full-scale different models of airplanes that were famous back then. So.
Yeah, so but they were much, I mean they were still pretty technical. They were still probably really complicated, but
oh, yeah, I'm sure they were revolutionary at the time.
Right. And then they had all the weapons, I guess, were fairly simple. I mean,
yeah, they're very springy.
Lots of springs.
Lots of metal.
No electric parts, really. They had to sort of be...
I don't know if they had electricity back then.
They did.
I can't say for sure.
They did. This was the 40s. It's okay.
Okay, well, if you know what? I wasn't there. Were you there?
You know, I was not there. They could have faked faked the whole moon landing.
Yes. Well, let's hope not.
And they had, like, I guess, tanks and jeeps and vehicles.
Yeah.
That's what I'm only remembering it because I remember I went there one time a long time ago, and they had, I think, a tank.
Oh, yeah, they still have a tank there.
Very cool. I know the big giant open area was, they had like a big aircraft hanging down, so.
Yeah, they've got like five of those.
Oh, wow.
There's one giant open, like four-story building. You can go on these like catwalks.
Very cool.
Get a real close look and stuff.
That's, the Smithsonian has like the National Air and Space Museum and a couple other museums in D.C. that were like that. So it's nice. I have to go back to the WW2 Museum. Wait, we can go together, you and me.
Oh, okay.
We can go together. Yeah. We can look at all the stuff.
Geek out
about it. So I don't talk about it much, but I love war history. Like, military history is super awesome because...
It's all horrible, but it's all really interesting.
Yeah, like, I don't mean to be too excited about it or anything, but it's...
Yeah, you need to calm down.
I know. I need to pull back.
Sit down.
Thank you. I'm sitting down in the studio. So was that the only thing you did? You sort of just spent your... I guess it was Memorial Day. We had almost a weekend, an entire weekend from last Wednesday until this Tuesday almost, you know. We got off Thursday.
Yeah, my brother was in town. He's from Chicago now, so...
Oh, okay.
We Went to the museum.
He's from Chicago now.
From Chicago now. No, you know, not originally. No, originally, he's from here.
He moved. He migrated.
But now he's from there.
Yeah, very cool. So that was pretty much all you did then.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I got wet because it was raining.
Because it was stormy. New Orleans, it was weird because for a while, the Hammond area was getting a lot of storms. And then New Orleans was seemingly lucking out, but not last Saturday.
Mm-mm.
Last Saturday, it was just terrible. Torrential rain, and it just all of a sudden flooded. I think I saw a picture of St. Charles Avenue, and it was underwater. Like, there was a streetcar, and there were clearly, I think you said there were clearly cars with water in them.
Oh, yeah. The streets flooded so quickly that the water went into the bottom
nowhere.
Of the cars, and the bottom of these cars definitely had water in
them. Oh, man. That's terrible. That's my one concern about living in like a low area like that is when it rains and the water has nowhere to go, the pumps can only pump so fast. So, I mean, where, you know.
At pumping speeds, yeah.
At pumping speeds, standard one pump speed. So, I played a little bit of The Witcher 3. I'm sure I have told you or you have heard that I'm a big Witcher 3 fan. Like,
That's been out for a while now.
It has been out for a while, and I guarantee you I've played probably 200 or 300 hours worth of that game.
Oh my God.
It's a ridiculously awesome game. Probably one of the, if not the best game I've ever played. Definitely one of the best games I've ever played.
Oh, okay.
You know,
I should check it out.
It may be the one, yeah. And you can get it from Steam. You can get it from, I'd recommend goodoldgames.com. We're going to talk about them a little bit later. But the newest expansion came out, and I wanted to play that, and then I realized I had started they had New Game Plus mode come out a while back. New Game Plus effectively allows you to, once you've beaten the campaign and whatever, you can restart the game with your current gear and your current levels and all your current stuff. It'll reset all the campaign elements and sort of let you go through the story again.
So it's like Diablo.
It's just like Diablo in a way, I guess. Does it let you...
I guess the new Diablo doesn't do that anymore.
No. This one,
not Diablo 2.
This is like old Resident Evil, where you could just, you get all your stuff still, and you just go through the game again. You keep doing that as much as you want, and things get harder and more challenging. Okay. But now that you know how to play the game, it should be funner, more fun for you to play.
Yeah.
So I had started a New Game Plus version of the game, and I think I have to beat that first, or at least get significantly farther in the game than where I'm at now, because I'm about, I don't know, maybe 10 to 25% through the new game. Because a ton of new games have come out, and I stopped playing Witcher for a little bit to play these other games. I have to get farther in the game now before I can play the new DLC. So I kind of screwed myself as far as playing the new DLC as soon as it came out. Because I had a game that was beaten, and I started over. You know, and I have all my stuff, and I'm not sure at what level I should try and go for this. So I might look that up, and I'll look into it. But I've been hearing that there are some fantastic reviews. 91 and 92% out of 100%.
On this thing that you bought that you can't play?
Well, I bought the season pass a while back, so it's not like I bought it again, you know?
No.
I did get to play, I'm almost completely finished with it, actually, the newest Fallout 4 DLC, Far Harbor, the latest in the first season of DLC. So it's a big, giant new land area, tons of new stuff, new creepy new animals, monsters that are roaming around, and a lot of really neat stuff. So I'm very happy to say that was, I think, $25 well spent for the entire season pass. Other than that, I did a little bit of work on the show, did a little bit of work on the site in the back end. Nothing that anyone's really going to see. And I picked up reading a book again.
What book?
Titan by John Varley. Titan is the first in the Gaian trilogy, Titan, Wizard, and Demon by John Varley. They're not very long books. I think they're maybe 250, 300-page books. So it's like,
I've never heard of them.
Yeah, it's pretty good. He won the... Can't remember what it's called, some award for his book Steel Beach, and then I think he also won awards for the Gaian trilogy. But yeah, his book released back in 79 and 80.
Is like fantasy books? What are we
talking
science
about? Fiction. Science fiction, okay. Books. It was either 79
they got robots in them?
No, I don't think so.
Oh. How do you know it's science fiction then?
Well, I mean, there's space travel and, you know, there's different stuff. I don't want to give anything away. I mean, I don't want a spoiler alert on a book that's been out for longer than I've been alive. But, I mean, you know, it's a pretty good book. And I would say, you know, if you can get it for a Kindle or for Nook or for your phone or whatever, read it. It's not that big. It's not that bad of a thing. And it'd be one of those things where I would want them to make a movie out of it. But I don't think it's movie eligible because of what we expect movies to be nowadays. Like, I just don't think it's really...
You think you would be disappointed if you saw it?
I think I would be fine. I think a lot of people, and this is something we can approach in the next segment, but I think that movies today have such a high standard for, like, run-and-gun action, or you have to have some character development, but, you know, someone help you if you have more than one movie to develop those characters. And it's just, I think we think about movies differently now in this generation than we did in previous generations. And that sort of pushes the industry to develop more movies like Captain America Civil War. Not saying it was a bad movie, just saying that it was, whatever. It's, you know, it's like a middle piece.
Well, if you don't get it right, you can always try again, like in Spider-Man.
Yeah, the fourth version of Spider-Man. So yeah, I did a couple non-geeky things and a couple geeky things, and yeah, so just did some stuff like that. We're gonna cut to two songs, come back and talk about our main segments, which is some news. This is History Repeating Part 1 and Part 2 by the Megas. I said two songs. It's just one really long song in two parts.
So it's gonna feel like two songs.
It's gonna feel like two songs. You'll know, you watch for the change up, you know, you'll hear it. Anyway, this is History Repeating Part 1 and Part 2 by the Megas. I'm MG.
I'm Chet.
And you've been listening to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still experience points. I'm MG.
And I'm Chet.
That's History Repeating Part 1 and Part 2 by the Megas. Awesome sort of... We played a lot on the show, I realize. When I was cutting all the shows together to put on the website, because we had a backlog of like... Oh, man, it was like 13 or 14 episodes that I hadn't cut together. And I did a bulk like workload, cut them all together, put them all up on the show or on the site. I realized that we actually played that several times back to back to back. So I kind of stopped playing it for a little bit.
In a row.
Not in a row in the same show, but in sequentially like one show after another, because I really like it, and you know, it fills the space and it's good. You can't play part one without part two because it sort of just ends. But that's how it is on the CD or whatever. So, but we haven't played it in a while, and you know, so we're gonna play it again. But whatever,
it's a fine song.
It is a fine song. Let's talk about some fine news that's been going down. So Mojang, they're the people that make.
Is it Mojang or is it Mojang?
Mojang or Mojang? They make Minecraft. They have banned paid advertisements within Minecraft. So effectively, if you are using Minecraft specifically to sell a product, or if you were using Minecraft specifically to showcase something that is not Minecraft.
Who would do that?
They gave two very specific examples of who or what an instance of doing that. To quote, this is a Kotaku article that was posted. If you can't build a Minecraft mod or server that promotes unrelated products in playable form, ergo, if you are a restaurant chain, you can't market your restaurant by releasing a mod that includes your restaurant built out of Minecraft blocks. Okay, fine. So Outback or McDonald's or, you know, Burger King or anything like that, they couldn't sell you or give away a free pack that is officially licensed and sanctioned by McDonald's or whatever that is like a map of Minecraft, a Minecraft map of a McDonald's restaurant.
A giant pixelated Whopper.
Right. You couldn't do that, apparently, officially. Another one, you can't build a Minecraft map or mod that markets a movie or TV show. Ergo, if you're a movie studio, you can't make a map that uses Minecraft blocks to build out the fictional world of the movie or its characters. And you can't make an official movie trailer out of the gameplay footage that map or from that map or mod. Which makes sense. They're effectively saying, you know, the fans love Minecraft. We talked about it last show about how Nintendo was sort of copyright claiming or throwing copyright claims on YouTube about the Nintendo Mario pack, the free Mario pack for the Wii U. That is not what we're talking about here. That is as if a studio was to make a Minecraft mod or a Minecraft map of, say, Captain America Civil War. Not going to beat this movie to death.
That wouldn't be very exciting.
Well... But
Lord of the Rings.
That's fine. If they re-released Lord of the Rings, and to promote it, they went ahead and released a free map pack or a free mod pack when you bought a ticket, and they did a trailer or they did some sort of piece, publicity piece, like using the Minecraft engine or the Minecraft platform. Effectively, Mojang or Mojang doesn't want them to. They don't want to use their platform. They don't want studios to use their platform in order to sell things that isn't Minecraft. That's effectively what you're saying, which I feel like, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
It's probably for the better.
You know, that's almost as if, and it's not quite the same thing because Lego and DC and, you know, all these things, they already have such a good relationship because it's cash cow with all the Lego games. But that's as if the Lego movie was not officially, or was an official thing by Lego, but done in the Minecraft engine. You know, it wouldn't work. You couldn't do that. You wouldn't be able to sell it. even if it was free or whatever, you wouldn't be able to tie those two things together because one is an official entity, a Lego or McDonald's or, you know, Marvel in this case, in this sort of hypothetical case. And then the other would be the platform itself, which is Minecraft, which Mojang doesn't officially support, like you doing that. Hmm. So if you're a fan, you can still do it.
Yeah, people can still do it for personal fun or whatever.
Fun, hobby, whatever. But you can't do it if you're, you know, if you're Sony or whatever. So
no one likes Sony anyway.
Well, speaking of Sony, I think we had talked, I think I had talked about it last show. If I didn't, I pulled it because we didn't have any evidence yet, and I don't like to comment on gossip so much. But Jason Schreier from Kotaku had posted an article saying that he had several sources that were saying that that No Man's Sky was going to be delayed.
Is Sony making this?
Sony is publishing it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They were going to say that I think it's PS4 exclusive. They're publishing it. He said that, yeah, he has sources that say that No Man's Sky was going to be pushed until August. But Sony hadn't confirmed that. And I think he either said that Wednesday or maybe late Thursday. Well, Friday, Sony confirmed it, that it's in fact going to be August 9th, I think is the official day. August 9th is when Sean Murray said that we're going to do it. He says, to quote, and this is the director, he says, quote, as we approached our final deadlines, we realized that some key moments needed extra polish to bring them up to our standards. I have had to make the tough choice to delay the game for a few weeks to allow us to deliver something special. Now, and realistically, you know, the end of May to the beginning of August, first week and a half into August, that's not bad. That's 2 months. That's 8-9 weeks. Some people lost their minds, though.
Obviously,
and
it's
the
internet.
I don't have the official Twitter messages, but I know that Jason Schreier, who published that article saying it's going to be delayed, he received death threats, which is crazy. Like,
well, he just wrote the article.
Yeah, he wrote the article saying, "Hey, yeah, this is going to be like it's going to happen. I'm sorry.
It wasn't his decision to delay it. He just wrote an article.
It wasn't. Oh. It wasn't.
You got to be mad at somebody.
It's not like he was like, yo, Sean Murray, hey, delay this game. No. It wasn't up to him at all. It's crazy to me that somebody is going to get death threats. You know,
I didn't realize that they were targeting the
author.
Article.
Yeah, the article author.
Yeah.
So one guy says, Beach Clashers on Twitter, at Kotaku, I'll find out where you live and murder you and your family. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm trying to censor all of this. From Beach Clashers, your little article about No Man's Sky being delayed has made me hate you to my very core. It's the only thing I live for. And you go and write that BS about a delay. Instead of visiting London later this month, I think I'll come by and say hi to you and F you up. You think you can get away with it that easy? Making fun of our Reddit page also? Sounds like you have a death wish. We will find you. Be afraid, human. We are coming for you.
Human?
Right.
Is he a robot?
I don't know if he's a robot.
He's a beach clasher.
Beach clasher. I don't know if that's like a, I don't know if that's a gang or whatever, but whatever.
Can robots go to the beach?
They'd rust.
I mean, yeah, the
they'd
salt
rust,
water.
Unless it's like a regular whatever beach. Anyway, this guy, so Jason Schreier, he went ahead and he like alerted Twitter to this, and it took 4 days before something happened. And only after like a ton of bad publicity from this article was published, did Twitter. Not even then. Only after almost 5 full days did Twitter suspend that account. Which
that
is,
person went full crazy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So I guess my question is, or the thought is, it's kind of insane that somebody gets so bent out of shape at a journalist, an internet blog journalist, you know, like over a video game delay that. No Man's Sky, yeah, there's a lot of hype behind this game. We have a coworker who talks about it a lot because it's the next big thing. You know,
I'm not sure I understand the appeal of this game.
Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit.
I get the randomness.
The randomness and there's tons of stuff to do, or rather there's like 100 things to do forever, you know, or maybe, you know, something like that. So, I mean, I get what the appeal of the game is. But I guess it's baffling to me why you would expose yourself on the internet where nothing is ever erased, Why would you expose yourself and be so hateful to somebody that is literally just writing, like, typing up a blog article?
You should never expose yourself on the internet.
Never expose yourself on the internet. The internet doesn't forget. It doesn't forget at all. So it's just crazy that somebody would do that. I don't know. It's weird. Whatever. Let's talk about Fallout 4. I talked about it earlier in my sort of what I did last week section, but the best part of Fallout 4, I would say the best part of the Bethesda games in the recent decade is the fact that you can mod those Bethesda games really, really well. It's as if they built the whole idea of modding those games into the general premise of the game itself, of the engine. It's very open to it. And I guess ever since Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion, which was the one with Patrick Stewart as the king, that was a really awesome game that I only discovered like years after because I didn't have a good enough computer to play it. But, you know, my first taste of that was Skyrim. And I'm still playing Skyrim years after. I think it came out in 2008. I'm still playing the game because it's kept alive with good mods. It's kept alive with mods to update the textures, to keep all of these current gaming trends that sort of they're hit or miss now or whatever that they didn't know about back in the day, they keep those gaming trends sort of injected into the game. Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas.
It seems almost crazy to make a game nowadays that doesn't support mods.
Right. A lot of games are supporting mods and directly supporting mods or through a patch or something. You know, they're getting that support. But the one thing that's always sort of been a barrier to players, video game players, getting the mods on their system is that if they have a console, generally they're just SOL. They just don't have the ability to get those mods because mods for a long time, just like better graphics, higher textures, mod packs, all that stuff, those were sort of just like PC gaming master race land. You know, that was stuff for the PC people,
not for the plebeians,
not for the console peasants, as Bear would say. His words, not mine. You can quote him.
You just said those words.
I said them,
so they're now your words.
Oh well, whatever. So that was the thing. You know, you could always replace your RAM and your motherboard and your processor and your graphics card and get better and better and better stuff on a PC, but you couldn't really do that with your PlayStation 3 or your Xbox 360 or now.
Well, they
your
wouldn't
PS4
even have settings like.
Right, they're not. Settings. It's just not built that way. The games are, and a lot of times they're dumbed down, ported down, and locked in at a frame rate, or locked it in at a resolution, or locked in at something. Even, you know, mods are just the last thing that game developers think about when they're releasing games for consoles.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. It seems like you would have to. The interesting thing is that with with DLC and with I guess digital distribution, maybe not that big of a deal because you're able to distribute the new code almost instantly and require people to update their system and update their game, patch their game if they want to play, especially for multiplayer games. This is nice though because Fallout 4 mods on Xbox One have been a thing. There's almost 900 mods for Fallout 4 on Xbox, but it's so weird the mods. It's not actually weird. It's pretty. I'm not surprised, actually, at the type of mods that are number one. One is just a cheat mod where you can add caps and you can add...
console.
Yeah, you add whatever you want, stim packs, just everything. And then, of course, like the second most popular, only by a little less, is the Busty Enhanced Vanilla Body Replacer.
What?
Where you can just replace your character models with busty women.
Why is the word vanilla in there?
So vanilla is the stock. That's as delivered with the game. Okay. So vanilla. I gotta say, you know, I replaced my vanilla characters with Caliente's Beautiful Body Enhancer, CBBE, which is from Skyrim, but that's because it makes the women a little more believable. Like it seems like it randomizes the body shape a little bit more. It's a more defined body mesh, and I did that with almost everything. So like any synth updates for Fallout 4 or whatever, I would update that. Any men, I would update that or whatever. More facial hair, grittier this, grittier that. I tweaked it because that's the type of feel that I want to have for the game. It's just neat that. You know, it's a cheap menu and then a busty mod. And then
so you haven't tried the busty mod?
No, not on PC, no. And there's a ton of nude mods as well through Nexus, and I don't think they're allowed on the workshop, but definitely through the Nexus portal. The interesting thing is that there's no nudity mods found in the Fallout 4 separate mod marketplace on Xbox One. And that's because it goes against everything Bethesda wants. They're not going to actively try to take down and do something to replace mods that are nude mods in Nexus because they can't. Like, that's just, it's so open. You're not going to enforce that. But they're running the marketplace to interact with the version of Fallout 4 and the Xbox One, so they control that marketplace. So they can totally restrict a mod going back and forth.
Oh, so you can't have, like, a third-party mod for the console.
Right. So that's the next thing is PCs don't have to worry about downloading and installing something being against the manufacturer's wishes, because chances are there's a patch that just says that it's okay anyway. There's you don't have to worry about it. It's your computer. Do whatever you want to it. The interesting thing about the Xbox One or whatever, you can't just install whatever you want on the Xbox. You can crack it, you can try to do a homebrew or whatever, you jailbreak it or whatever, but that doesn't mean the same thing in this case. If there's a dependency that it needs or some extra files or whatever, if it's just not something that works with the base game, then you will not be able to use it, more likely than not. You'll not be able to use it on your Xbox One. And people are getting upset at this. And it's weird. People are getting upset at the mod makers, which is strange. They're getting upset at the mod makers. Why don't you want to, you know, develop your mod for Xbox One? And these mod makers are like, dude, get off my back. I can't do it. It's just, it won't work. I need this version of this other thing that I can't put on a console. I need this other version of some other thing that they won't allow. So it's neat. Almost 900, I think 800 and some change mods of on there that go on there. But another thing that is sort of a little different, a little weird, is that I've downloaded mods that are gigabytes large, you know, full texture replacements, sound replacers, texture replacers, everything, you know, floral this, floral that. One I used was Regrowth. Regrowth is actually on the Xbox One side of things as well. It replaces all of the foliage and fauna and everything.
The shrubberies.
It makes them more shrubbish. Yes. It goes from rubbish to shrubbish real fast. But see what I did? I changed that a letter.
That was a good one.
But it you can't have the whole mod on there because it's too big. It's not, you can't get it all from like the PC version. And it's not a direct port anyway. So not only are the mod makers having to port it and make a version, unless they did it right from the start, did it this certain way from the start, to get it on Xbox One in the first place, they're having to cut things out of the mods to fit within a size restriction.
Oh, yeah, the hardware is kind of limited there.
Right. So you can install a 500 gig SSD or a terabyte or a 2 terabyte hard drive.
Can you put more RAM on it though?
No, you probably can't. Not. Right. So one guy was like, instead of having, you know, a gig or whatever for the Regrowth mod, this is like 290 megs now. So it's just two or three pieces of it. It's not even the whole package. So now on top of getting certain mods, you're getting certain, like, cut-down versions of the mods, which is sort of, you know, not, I would say probably not really, it's not respecting the mod culture so much. It's a half step, like a half measure.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's not the mod maker's fault, but it certainly is coming back on them, it seems.
It's the buyer's fault for buying a console.
It's the buyer, oh, man. We're going to cut to a song, come back, talk about our last segment in and out the show. This is How to Fire a Gun by Shel Riley and the Double Eyes Backfire. I'm MG.
I'm Chet.
And you've been listening to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU.
I would like to learn how to fire a gun, in case it ever comes to that. How to fire one.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Chet.
That was Shel Riley and the Double Eyes Backfire with How to Fire a Gun. Pretty big, awesome staple song on Experience Points. I really like it. It was a good song.
Yeah, it's good.
It's about making video games and doing other stuff. And
it's not about shooting guns?
And it's like things you should do. And I'm not going to overanalyze
things
the song.
You do in games.
Yeah, but not necessarily in games. Let's talk about not Steam for a minute, because we always talk about Steam, how Steam's like the perfect digital distribution, and it's full of like love stories now. There's actually a...
What about Origin?
Origin, let's not talk about that either. Let's talk about Steam. You're right. Let's pull back. Actually, I do want to point out or throw something out there. The Mines Eclipse, It's from an awesome team. I think they're a decentralized team, but I know some of them are in Seattle. Langdon Herrick, who actually worked at Southeastern at KSLU. He did the morning show and a couple other shows a while back when I was new to KSLU. We were sort of brought up through it together. He and a lot of other people form a team that makes this game called Mind's Eclipse. It is a visual novel-style game. Puzzle game, I'm not real sure because it's only in beta right now, but if you Google Mind's Eclipse or you check the show notes on the site, you can go ahead and play the demo and just sort of contribute to the green light. They're actually on Steam Greenlight, and I think we're going to be getting a little bit of an interview with them, so
well, nice.
get some kind of insider look into making a video game and writing and art and all that stuff. Stuff you don't really get, you know, until you talk to somebody that's done it. But no, what I was going to talk about instead of Steam was what Good Old Games is doing right now. Good Old Games, for those that don't know, they offer DRM, so digital write free games. So it means you don't have to put
what
in a serial key.
What does DRM stand for?
Digital Rights Management, I think. I think that's what it stands for.
That's boring.
Yeah, it's kind of boring. It's effectively the thing that stops you from just installing the game wherever you want and playing it wherever you want, or only playing one version of the game or whatever. DRM became a really big thing in the early to mid-2000s, and it's still with us today. We see it at Uplay. There's tons and tons. I know Games for Windows Live was one. There are a ton of marketplace
that
DRM
died
things. Yes, it died. Rest in pieces. But DRM free is really great. Good Old Game says, you know, you already bought your game. Why do you have to keep paying for it? Why do you have to keep paying for your game? And that you, if you wanted to play your game somewhere else or whatever, why do you have to install the client, get the thing, and blah, 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 and do all this stuff? So Good Old Game's platform is based around the community and everything, like Steam, but DRM-free games. And it's not like they only have, like, 25 or 30 games. There are hundreds of games to choose from. Old classic games that have been rejuvenated. I remember I played System Shock Remastered and System Shock 2 from Good Old Games, and it was fantastic. Descent 3, Descent Free Space, Free Space 2, some of my favorite games from back in the day, they have brought back on Good Old Games. And now they exist other places, but, you know, specifically on Good Old Games is where I found them. Today, this is brand new, caught off the presses. Today, Good Old Games posted a blog article, an update on their site. I actually got it through the Good Old Galaxy, or Good Old Games Galaxy client, which is like a Steam, sort of like a Steam client. I got the update that they are now offering a service called GOG Connect. So Good Old Games Connect. And what that does is it lets Good Old Games look at your Steam profile and sort of your Steam profile has every game that you own via Steam on it. It's existed for a while through the Steam API. It allows Good Old Games to then make the decision on what games to allow you to have DRM free via their system. So you log into Good Old Games and then you log into Steam and you sync them up. And what it's going to do is it's going to look at the games that Good Old Games allow to be available through this service, free of charge, and what games you already own in Steam, and it's going to give you those games. Currently, they only have a few games. They have The Witness, Faster Than Light, The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing, Galactic Civ, blah, 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 blah. Some big ones on this list, though, The Witcher, Saints Row 2, Braid, Mountain Blade, Unreal Gold and Unreal Tournament, and Xenonauts. Xenonauts isn't that big, actually. But if you own any of those games on Steam, you can now have DRM-free versions of those games on Good Old Games after you sync it up and after it figures it out and everything. I thought that was so cool. And they promise, you know, this is going to grow. Like, the publishers and the producers or whatever, it's up to them when they want to expose games on Good Old Games that they bought on Steam. But if you paid for the game already.
Have you done this?
I have. I synced it up, but it says, you know, due to the demand and the extreme demand on the service, it may be a few days before we can give you these games.
Ah, so you don't know which ones you've gotten yet.
No, but I mean, looking at this list, I know I bought The Witcher. I know I bought FTL. I think I have Saints Row through some pack that I've had before, Bit Trip Runner, Braid, all the Unreal Tournaments and Unreal Gold, and probably VVVVVV. I know I probably out of the dozen...
What is that?
It's a game. It's a flash game that they made into a
Just a bunch of V's.
That's hard
to say.
So I expect that I've got at least half of the games they offer right now, and I'm excited because I have bought games on Steam, and then they have later been re-released on Good Old Games, and I'm like, you know, it would have been nice to just buy them from Good Old Games, because I don't think Good Old Games is going away anytime soon. I already have 10 or 12 games over there. I've actually repurchased some, but originally, because I thought Good Old Games was going to be a passing fad or whatever, I rebought those games on Steam so that I knew that I'd have them. And I paid like $2. You know, it's not like I spent a ton of money on it.
Oh, okay.
But if you look at how much money you spend on video games like via Steam, to get these games in an easier, digestible way without having to install the Steam client, because even though they have this Good Old Games Galaxy client, it's totally optional. You don't actually have to install it. You can just download it through the web. So
that's,
I don't know.
Magical.
It's a very nice experience in my opinion. Do you think this is something that you would want to do? I mean, I know you don't buy a lot of games through Steam, but I mean, if you did.
I would totally do that.
If you had games and
it doesn't cost you anything.
No, it's totally
free. You might
free.
As well.
My thing is, you know, if I wanted to show somebody a game, there is something that's like you can loan a friend a game, or if you're in the same like house or apartment, you can do a stream, whatever. But that's not the same thing. If you could just give them the game and say, hey, if you like this, you should buy it. You know, I feel like that has worked before. I have lent somebody a PlayStation 2 or PlayStation 3 game, and they've went and bought their own copy because they liked it so much.
Wow, those old days.
And this is effectively, well, I mean, that was sort of DRM-free in a way.
Yeah.
You could take your game and play it anywhere, you know?
You bought a copy, you can use it
you
wherever
can
you want.
You can use it wherever you want. So, I mean, it's interesting that they decided to do that. It's totally cool, though. I love that idea. So, we are out of time. It happens every week. But we're prepared for this because we have two songs we're going to end the show out with. Before we do that, let's talk about the website. Chet, do you think you know what the website is? You think you could do this? You got to tell me right now. We're doing it live.
I know there's some double tapping.
Oh, you got to double tap it. We have all of our news, reviews, all of our opinions, all of our audio that we have cut and shredded together and put online at our website. That website is exppoints.com. We always double tap that P. We also have social media at exppoints.com/social. You can check it out. Twitter, Facebook, Google+, Steam Community, YouTube, all that stuff. Please like, subscribe, do whatever you need to do on all those things. And if you want to check us out and donate money, we have PayPal and Patreon. You can... you know, give us money directly with PayPal. Thank you in advance. And if you want us to do something for you, some stupid little sticky note, bake a cake, sing a song with your name in it for $5, Patreon is the place to go for that stuff as well. We're on Stitcher, we're on iTunes, we're on Google Play Music Podcast now. I think we're on Spotify, I'd have to check. And we're scattered throughout the interweb, so please look it up and find out, you know, how are you going to consume this show? How are your ears going to eat this radio show?
I don't think that's how ears work.
I'm not sure that you're a doctor.
I'm not a doctor.
I don't
you're
think
right.
you know.
I'm not an expert.
We are going to leave you with Light Up the Night by the Proto Man and On by Kirby Crackle. Well, thank you for hanging out with us tonight. I'm MG.
I'm Chet.
And this has been Experience Points exclusively on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU.